Psalm 3 and the verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Amen. We'll end our reading at the close of the psalm and trust that God will bless the public reading of his inspired and precious word to our hearts. When you come to study or consider the book of Psalms, to get the gold for your soul, you need to look at the Psalms in a threefold way. You need to read them historically. Now, some Psalms we can't be specific in exactly when or what circumstances they were written in. But if it's possible, you need to read the Psalms in their historical context. You also need to read them prophetically. The Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 24 in the verse 44, when he was speaking to his disciples just before he ascended into heaven, he spoke about the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, and he spoke of how they spoke concerning him. He said, they speak concerning me. And so there are many Psalms. And what was written in the Psalms was primarily speaking of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to see that when we come to study and read the book of Psalms. But you also need to read the book of Psalms devotionally. The psalmist's experience will be your experience. And the psalmist's feelings will be your feelings. And the psalmist's victories and triumphs are the victories and triumphs that you can experience as well. Now, the third psalm, historically, we know exactly when it was written or the circumstances when it was written. You will see that if you look at the title to the psalm. It says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, as part of David's chastening for his sin with Bathsheba, the Lord had said he would bring trouble to David's house. And Absalom, his son, though he was not in line to inherit the throne, he coveted the throne of Israel. And so he raised men to stand with him. They raised an army, and the trumpet was blown in Hebron, and Absalom was proclaimed to be king, and David had to flee for his life. It's for that reason that David asks the question, how are they increased that trouble me? Verse 1. Many are they that rise up against me. In the verse 7, I believe it is. Verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. He describes the multitude that had sided with Absalom in seeking to steal away the throne. He asks the question, or rather he states, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. And at that time, such was David's despondency. It seemed that he was defeated, that all things were against him, that his enemy said that for his soul there is no help for him in God. What a statement that was. God will not help him. He is beyond the help of God. God has abandoned him. That's what his enemies said about him at that time. And it's for that reason that David, in the opening part of this psalm, seems downcast. He is distraught. He seems abandoned and alone. And yet, as you come to the end of the psalm, you discover that rather than asking the question, why? Lord, how are they increased to trouble me? Lord, how did this happen? Why are so many against me? As he comes to the end of the psalm, rather there's a note of victory. There is a note of confidence. There is a note of faith and assurance that all things will be well in the Lord. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. There's courage and there's confidence to face the enemies of the Lord and the enemies of David. He cries unto God, arise, O Lord, save me. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies. He cries, salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. And rather than questioning the circumstances that are surrounding him at that time, rather he is confident in the Lord's providence and in the Lord's dealings with him, and he places his times in the Lord's hands, knowing that whatever his lot, the Lord will bless him as a child of the King. If we look at this psalm devotionally, we have to confess that there are times when, like the psalmist, we are discouraged, downhearted, perhaps even disillusioned when there are difficulties, trials, and problems that beset us in life. And perhaps, like the psalmist, we have asked the question in verse 1, how has this happened? How has it taken place? That so many rise up against me, or so many difficulties and problems are to be encountered and faced in life. How has it happened? And yet, when we lift our eyes and focus them upon the Lord, I believe that we can come to that place that the psalmist came to. When he said, I will not be afraid. He cried, arise, O Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And I ask you the question this morning, what was the difference between the commencement of the psalm where there were those who were crying out, there's no help for his soul, even in God. He's beyond help. The Lord will not help him. And David's asking, how could it be? What was the difference? What changed? When he comes just a few verses later to express his confidence and his courage and his contentment in the Lord. I believe you find the answer in verses 3, 4, and 5. Whatever you have faced in 2017 and whatever you face in 2018, may you face them with the knowledge of these verses in Psalm number 3. I want you, and I'm just highlighting the verses this morning. We'll take a thought from each one of them. That great change, the confidence, the contentment, the courage came to David when he firstly remembered that God was his shield. Look at verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. And we should pay attention even to the very first word of verse 3, for it tells us the emphasis has changed. In verse 1 and 2, David is focusing upon the enemy. He sees the numbers of those who are against him. And as God's people, sometimes we can be focused on the numbers of people or institutions or authorities who are against the cause of Jesus Christ and His gospel. And you'll notice that in verse 1 and 2 he speaks about them being increased. and he speaks about them as being many. And in verse 2 he says, many there be. And he's focused on the numbers of the enemy who is coming against him. But verse 3, his emphasis and his focus changes. But thou, O Lord. And now he's got his eyes off the enemy and the multitude of them and the many of them. The thousands, ten thousands of them. And he's focusing and he's emphasizing on the Lord. But thou, O Lord, and child of God, when you come to the dark place, the place of despair, the place of trouble, the place where it seems that all is against you, the first thing you need to do is lift up your eyes off the enemy and focus them upon the Lord. Do you remember Psalm 121 and what a wonderful psalm it is? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And some people read that verse and they think that the psalmist is asking or he's stating that his help comes from the hills. Not so. For he's saying, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. He's looking on the hills and he says, where will my help come from? He knew his help wouldn't come from the hills. And he went on in verse 2 to say, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The one who made the hills. The one who called them into being. That was the one who the psalmist focused his mind and his heart and his eyes upon. That's where his help would come from. And in Psalm 3, he's doing the very same thing. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. And he remembered in his time of trouble, when multitudes came against him and spoke all manner of evil against him, he recognized that looking to the Lord was his shield. I say to you this morning, child of God, behold your God. Don't focus on the things of time and sense, or in the problems and trials and troubles of life. Lift your eyes beyond the hills to see the Lord who is able to help you. And in this psalm, David remembered that God was his shield. The shield, of course, was a defensive piece of armor to protect from the enemy. And the Bible reminds us that the Christian has a shield to protect him. It was Paul in Ephesians 6 and 16 who spoke about the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And whatever the enemy may fire upon the Christian, there is a defensive piece of weaponry to save us and deliver us from the fiery darts of the enemy. And the Bible reminds us that the Lord himself is our shield. It was to Abraham in Genesis 15 and verse 1, the Lord said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Psalm 28 verse 7, the Lord said, the Lord is our strength and our shield. The Lord himself is our shield. But there's something very important I want you to notice about this shield that David remembered. The Lord was protecting him. You see, if you look at verse 3 again, it says, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. And if you notice that little phrase, for me, if you have a margin in your Bible, the margin might highlight that little phrase could literally be rendered, thou art a shield about me. You see, sometimes when we think of the shield, we think of this small item that goes on the soldier's arm. And he's the sword in one hand and the shield in the other. And it's not very big. But that wasn't the thought or the idea that David had in mind when he spoke about the Lord being his shield. He's saying he's a shield right about me. Before me. Beside me. Behind me. The Lord is protecting me. He's the shield that encompasses me. Do you notice there in verse 6 of the psalm? I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. And as David described the enemy, He could say, 10,000s have come against me, and they're round about me. They're in front of me. They're to the right of me. They're to the left of me. They're to behind me. They're all around me. And yet the blessing and the glory and the wonder was that David had courage and confidence to face the enemy, because he remembered the Lord was a shield that encompassed him before him, behind him, and all around him. Now, O Lord, art a shield for me. Where did David get that idea from? That the Lord was a shield that encompassed him. Well, we said a little earlier, the title of this psalm is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. He had to flee from his palace. He had to flee from Jerusalem. He had to make his way over the river and on to the other side of the land. And I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 17, for I want you to notice something. When David was on his journey, he was fleeing from Absalom. He was finding out who was with him and who was against him. Joab was raising an army to enter into battle with Absalom, to endeavor to regain the throne. And as David made his journey away from Jerusalem, it tells us he came to a very significant place. 2 Samuel. And it's the chapter 17 and it's the verse 24. 2 Samuel 17 and the verse 24. Then David came to Mahanaim. And Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. I want you to notice that. David came to Mahanaim. It was on the other side of Jordan. This place was called Mahanaim by Jacob. You need to turn back, and it would be worthwhile to do it. I know we're now going back and forward in the scriptures, but follow this to see it. It will be a blessing to your soul. Turn back to Genesis 32 and to verse 1 and 2, and you will discover why Jacob called this place Mahanaim and what that name actually means. It tells us in verse 1, Genesis 32, verse 1, and Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. Jacob had dwelt for many years in the land of Paddan Aram. He had been there with his uncle. He had labored 7 years for Rachel. And of course he received Leah. He labored another 7 years for Rachel. And he labored there for more years beyond that. But eventually the Lord came and told him, Jacob, it's time to return to Canaan. That's the land I have promised your seed. Jacob was full of concerns and fears and worries about going back to Canaan. For Esau was there, and the last encounter he had with Esau, Esau was threatening to kill him. Nevertheless, he obeyed the will of God and he began to make his way back toward the promised land. But old Laban, my, he got angry. He wasn't happy with Jacob, and he came from behind Jacob. And he was threatening Jacob, but the Lord appeared unto Laban and told him he wasn't to lay a finger upon Jacob. And Jacob came to this place. He went on his way, and it tells us the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host, or God's camp. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau. Jacob called it Mahanaim. Why? Because God sent two hosts of angels, two camps of angels to protect him. Get the picture in your mind. Jacob is going to the land of Canaan. Laban's coming behind. And he's coming to catch up with him. And he's threatening him. And oh, as he goes on his way, he's going toward the promised land. And there's Esau. And Esau had threatened to kill him all those 20 or so years ago. The Lord sends two hosts or two camps of angels. And it's as if the Lord's saying there's a host behind him to protect him from Laban. And there's a host or a camp before him to protect him from Esau. And he calls the name of the place Mahanaim, two camps or two hosts. For the Lord sent this host to protect me from the enemy. Hundreds of years later, David's fleeing for his life. And he's fleeing from Absalom, and there are 10,000s against him, and they're going to beset him round and about. And he comes to the place called Mahanaim. And I just wonder, when he came to Mahanaim, did he remember his forefather Jacob? And he remembered how that God had sent two hosts and two camps to encircle him, to go before him, to come behind him, and to protect him and guard him from the enemy. And was it at that point he lifted up his voice? He cried, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head." Child of God, it doesn't matter where the enemy comes from to attack you with his fiery darts or to attack the cause of Jesus Christ. You remember this in 2018. The Lord is your shield that will encompass you round about, that no matter where the attack comes from, you are protected by the God of heaven, who is your Savior and your Lord. He remembered that God was his shield. Underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. You're surrounded by the protecting arms and hand of the Lord himself. But then I want you to look back at Psalm number 3. And I want you to see, David not only remembered that God was his shield, but David realized God heard his supplication. Verse 4, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice." And in his time of trouble, David called and he cried unto the Lord. The word cry speaks of intensity. The word cry speaks of, as it were, desperation. The word cry, it speaks of fervency. And in his time of trouble and need, David cried unto the Lord with his voice. Whatever you face in 2018, face it with prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And David lifted up his voice. Don't be afraid to pray out loud unto the Lord, even on your own. I think I told the story before a previous church that I ministered. I remembered going into the hospital one day. It was Antrim Hospital, so you'll know where it was. And I was visiting one of the elderly men in the congregation who was sick. And he was awful down. He was awful discouraged. And I said to him, "What's wrong with you?" He says, "I've been told I'm not allowed to pray in hospital." And I said to him, "They can't tell you not to pray in hospital now." I said, "You're able to pray." "No," he says, "they've told me I'm not allowed to pray. I'm upsetting everybody praying." And I said, "Now, what do you mean? Who told you not to pray?" "Oh, the nurses told me not to pray. I'm not allowed to pray." And I named him. I says, "Now, come on, you're allowed to pray. And then the penny dropped with me. And I said, "Are you praying out loud?" "I always pray out loud," he says. "I'm at home. I'm in the bed. I always pray out loud." I said, and I had to remind him and tell him, I said, "Well, you know, you don't need to pray out loud for the Lord to hear you." "Oh," he says, "I know that, but I just like praying out loud." I said, "Well, maybe in hospital." I says, "It would be a good idea just to pray quietly into yourself." And that's right. But I'm saying to you, on this occasion, the psalmist did pray out loud. He prayed with his voice. I tell you, never be afraid to pray with your voice unto the Lord. Even if it is in public sometimes, even if others in the house can't hear you. The psalmist prayed with his voice unto the Lord. I want you to notice the next little bit. He cried unto the Lord with his voice, and he says, "And he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah." Do you see that the psalmist identifies where the Lord is? The Lord was in his holy hill. That phrase is used on at least 6 occasions in the psalm. And every time it's used in connection with the tabernacle or the temple of the Lord, the public place of worship. If you just turn over to Psalm 15 and verse 1, you'll see that. The psalmist asks the question, "Lord, who shall abide in thy holy hill? And who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" That holy hill was the place where the tabernacle was sent. The tribes went up to Jerusalem and up to the hill of the Lord. We could mention Psalm 24 and verse 3, and again, the holy hill is mentioned in connection with the Lord's house. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? And it's connected with the public place of worship, the holy place. And it was there that the presence of the Lord was publicly manifested. It was there that the glory of the Lord and the Lord himself dwelt in Old Testament times. But David now was in exile. And he lamented in his time of exile. Psalm 42 is another exile psalm. And he said, I remember these things. I tore out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went up to them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Psalm 42 verse 4. But he laments the fact that he could no longer come and appear in the house of the Lord, for he was in exile for a season. And yet here's the blessing, that while he personally, through his exile, could not go up to the holy hill of the Lord, could not go to the public place of worship, yet he could say in his time of exile that when he cried unto the Lord with his voice, the Lord heard him out of his holy hill. Psalm 61 and verse 2, he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, what the psalmist was reminding himself was that while the Lord's glory and blessing and power and manifestation was made known in the public place of worship there at the tabernacle, the holy place of the Most High, yet wherever he was, when he cried unto the Lord, the Lord would hear and answer prayer. He was afar off from that place, but God would hear his cry. And I want you just to grasp that thought for a moment. You see, I want to impress upon your heart that though you may be far off, the Lord will hear your cry. Might be circumstances that cause you to be far off from the Lord. Sickness, affliction, trouble, and you feel distant from Him. When we lift our voice and cry unto the Lord hears the voice of our supplication. Perhaps it's carelessness that has led you to be far off from the Lord. Besetting sin. A lethargic attitude toward the things of God. The reality is that when you call upon the Lord, He will hear you and He will answer. And He will restore unto you the joy of His salvation. The psalmist had courage and confidence, because he remembered that God was his shield. He realized that God heard his supplication. And then if you look at verse 5, you'll see the third blessing the psalmist experienced. Not only remembered that God was his shield and realized that God heard his supplication, but he recognized that God would sustain him. I laid me down and slept. I awake. For the Lord sustained me. I said we need to look at the Psalms, not only historically and devotionally, but prophetically. And verse 5, commentators have viewed as a prophetic reference to Christ. There are a number of references in this Psalm to Christ. Verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. That was the taunting mockery at the cross. They said he trusted in God. Let us see if God will help him. That was the mockery at the cross. There is no help for him in God. But verse 5 is another verse that commentators see as a prophetic statement in relation to the Lord. I laid me down and slept. The Lord lay down in the dust of death and slept. He slept the sleep of death for sinners. I awaked. He rose again. For the Lord sustained him, and the Father raised him from the dead. Now we can see the Lord Jesus Christ and His work of the cross and the work of His death and the work of His resurrection in Psalm number 3. We can view it prophetically. But if we take this verse devotionally as it relates to David, he says, I laid me down and slept. Sleep in the Bible speaks about rest and peace and contentment. You'll see that in verse 8 of Psalm number 4. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord only maketh me to dwell with thee. He lay down in peace. He slept in peace. And sleep in the Bible is a picture of rest and contentment. And in the midst of all his trouble, of all his opposition, of a battle that's about to ensue between David's armies and Absalom's armies, he lay down and he slept. And he had a good night's rest. Why? Why was he at peace? He says, for the Lord sustained me. He realized the Lord would sustain him in every situation in life. And because the Lord was sustaining him, he had a peaceable spirit. You know, humanly speaking, David should have been pacing the boards, as we say. Sleep should have left him. His son is setting about and seeking his destruction. A battle for the throne is about to take place. It seems a no-win situation for David. He's in fear of his life. He's on the run. He doesn't know who to trust. A battle is about to take place that will either see him victorious and his son defeated and destroyed, or a battle will take place that will see him defeated and his son victorious. And yet, in the midst of that time, he lay down and slept because the Lord sustained him, and he knew the Lord would sustain him. And it tells me, brethren and sisters, that in every situation in life, you can experience and know the peace of God no matter what you face. I don't know much about the ocean. I don't know much about the sea. Never was really studied it. Had an interest in it. I like sailing. But those that do know it and study it, they tell us that in the times whenever the fiercest storms are blowing on the surface of the sea, and sometimes I've watched those programs, the Scottish fishermen going out of Peterhead and their fishing boats, and the cameras on board, and the storm blows up and the little ship has been tossed about all over the place. I'm thinking of a storm like that. And on the surface, the great waves are blowing. The experts tell us on the seabed, it's calm. It's peaceable. My friend, that can be a picture of your life and your heart. Like David, outwardly, you can have all the storms, and they're tossing you about to and fro. But when you know that God sustains you in every situation and circumstance in life, your heart of hearts, you can have absolute peace with God. And you can be at rest and at ease because you know the Lord will sustain you in every trial and every trouble. That's why David could lay down and rest and sleep, because he knew the Lord would sustain him. That's why Jesus turned to the disciples in the little fishing vessel as they crossed Galilee. When the storm was raging, he said, peace be still. Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? When the storms of life rage, you can know the Lord's peace in your heart when you recognize and you grasp that the Lord will sustain you in every situation in life. May the Lord bless His word. May you understand that He is your shield. He hears your supplication, and He will sustain your soul in the days that are to come.